Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with Tom Fairbanks. Tom is engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass. But Tom and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show for Friday, May the 8th. We are live weekdays right here on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We're here from noon to 1 each weekday, and we live stream the show. So that means you don't need to be anywhere near a radio. If you're around a computer, which many people are, they live stream our show on my website, buckmastershow.com, and the station's website, kvoi.com. And then, of course, we post all of our programs since we've been doing this program for over 4 years. Pretty much every show we've done is archived on the website buckmastershow.com. We usually have the podcast up within about an hour of the conclusion of the program. On Friday especially, we like to do a thank you to our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News, and Sahorita Sun, and our newest media partner is Tucson Life Lifestyle.com. Thank you to all of those folks for prominently displaying a link to our program on their web pages. Our Friday Focus interview this afternoon, Farhad Moghimi is with us, the executive director of the Pima Association of Governments and the Regional Transportation Authority, the RTA, about to enter its 10th year of implementing its 20-year transportation plan, which was approved by voters 9 years ago next week. I believe, Farhad, it was May 16th.
That is correct,
yeah,
Bill.
So you've got the anniversary coming up. The plan added a half-cent sales tax in the region for 20 years to fund a $2.1 billion list of transportation projects, including new road construction, safety improvement, public transit, and environmental preservation. Joining me here in studio to question Mr. Moghimi is Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News, and Sahorita Sun. Dan, how are you?
Doing great. Thanks, Bill.
The Buckmaster Show live line is open for your calls at 790-2040. If you would like to ask a question or have a comment, Mr. Moghimi is very pleased to entertain that. Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. We're up now to over 4,100 friends of this program, so there's room for more if you would like to join us and follow our work here in Southern Arizona. Farhad, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you for coming back to the program, and we wanted to kind of coincide with that anniversary as we now enter that kind of coming up to the halfway point. How would you characterize where we are right now? And I know the RTA has invested really a lot of money has come into this community. I think it's about $740 million into the region over that 9 year period.
That's correct, Bill. And we've accomplished quite a bit compared to obviously where we want to be 9 years into the 20 year plan. We believe that we've been exceeding our target on some of those areas. We're at 50% or above on completing some of the projects, and we hope by next year we'll definitely have all the projects at 50% or above. So hopefully for our 10th year anniversary we'll be able to pass that mark as well.
And you've completed a lot of projects. Well, let's see, 650 transportation improvements.
That is correct. 650 total projects, and you know, if you recall, there was four different categories for projects. There was 35 named projects. We're working away on getting those completed. Currently, we have 30 projects total under construction, and out of the 35 projects, so six of them are under construction currently. And just to name a few of those, Valencia Road between Alvernon and Wilmont, that's under construction. That's going really well. We have Sawyer Road, the final phase of Sawyer Road, going all the way to Country Club. That's almost completed. And 22nd Street and Keno Overpass, that's under construction and almost completed as well. We have Helton and Valencia Road on between Mark and Wade coming up to finish, and McGee Road between La Cañada and Oracle are under construction. So those are the name projects. In addition to the name projects, obviously we have a lot of projects that fall into those categorical projects, and that's how the 650 projects are added up, because we have a variety of smaller projects.
And we'll talk later during the half hour about some of the big projects to come in the next 10 years. But right now, let's go over to Dan Scheer.
How about a streetcar update? How are things going there? Do we have a million riders yet?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, that was kind of my news to share with you, that hopefully this month, by the end of the month, we should have our millionth rider. Obviously, Sunlink staff are really excited about that, and they're tracking, and they want to identify that individual. So
who knows what they'll win, but
well, it's just the bragging rights, I assume.
There you go. Yeah.
So that's going really well. Ridership, I don't know if you recall or not, our projection initially for the ridership was about 3,600 per day. Right now we're hitting 4,000 per day, and on weekends it's 4,200 per day. So it's doing really well.
Can you define for us who's riding it?
Well, a variety of, obviously, demographics. Interesting enough, as I just mentioned, weekends we're getting more riders, typically later at night. Obviously, folks are coming down to enjoy some of the restaurants and the facilities in the downtown area along 4th Avenue. So there's a lot more activity downtown if you haven't been there recently. You know, typically Thursday through even Sunday, you get a lot more folks coming down, and obviously they're riding the streetcar. And then on a regular basis, we see a lot of different folks riding the streetcar on a regular basis. Obviously, the students at U of A, they all have annual passes, and I think most of them are coming from that area.
And speaking of the streetcar, we're going to go now to the live line. Our friend Jim Kelly has a question or comment about the streetcar. Jim, how are you today?
I am well, Bill. Thank you. Good to hear from you again, Dan Scheer, and Farhad. Very good to hear from you.
Yes,
I'm very pleased. I'm very pleased with what the streetcar is doing, but I want to know, what can we do now to get the extension of that streetcar east on Broadway, south on Campbell, to the transportation hubs, specifically the airport and the employment centers that are here on the south side?
Okay, thank you, Jim.
Yes, thank you, Jim. Thanks for that question. We had done previous studies for high-capacity transit as far back as 2009, and some of the routes that you just mentioned have been identified as potential extensions. As you know, funding for transit improvements, especially the most recent one, the streetcar, is very competitive. And actually, there are a lot of other communities throughout the nation that are trying to compete for those limited funding to do streetcars of their own. So typically, the startup projects are the one that enjoy and benefit some federal funding, and that's how we were able to get roughly $63 million of grant funding from the federal government to be able to accomplish what we did. So extension monies are not as easily available. So we'll continue to do our best to identify funding sources for the extension. But again, as you had mentioned, and I'm really pleased to hear that you actually kind of named all the routes that we've studied and we have on potential routes for extension. We'll continue to do our due diligence, continue to identify additional funding, and obviously there's a process to follow when the time comes to be able to identify which extension would be the reasonable one and the logical one to proceed. And if I may just expand.
Sure, go ahead.
Obviously, high capacity transit, bus rapid transit is another good option for our community, and we're investigating that as well.
Farhad, Phoenix opened their mass transit or their streetcar about 6.5 years ago. They're working on huge expansion. Where is that funding coming from for the expansion up there, and how does it differ? Does it differ from the funding they got to put the original 20 miles down?
Yeah, so for the expansion, obviously they're pursuing a variety of options for funding, but the original, obviously, investment was part of the regional transportation as well. As you know, they passed the Regional Transportation Authority back in 1985, so they had definitely over 20 years ahead of us before they were able to fund some of those projects. But again, they rely on federal funding as well as sales tax and as well as some other regional funds that they're trying to look at for expansion.
But you're saying any expansion is going to be slower because the funding is going to be more competitive?
Yes, the federal funds are, unfortunately, they're not as easily available, especially for expansion. Typically, they want to make sure you have a startup project, so they fund the startup project, and then after that, they rely on local funds and regional funds to support the expansion.
So when the reauthorization is looked at, Farhad, that would be coming up in the coming years, the reauthorization of the RTA. What piece would perhaps an extension of the streetcar be in there, or that would depend, I guess, on whether the federal funding would be available?
Yeah, again, I would rely on the community to help us develop what the next plan should look like. As you know, the original plan, the 20-year plan, we had extensive outreach and dialogue with the community, almost 3 years of going through that process. And even then, when the streetcar was identified, it was only identified for 50% of the funds coming from the RTA, assuming that we can get additional funding from federal government to support that. So I assume we'll have the similar dialogue and we'll continue to identify. Otherwise, if there's no federal funding, what are the resources we can bring to the table to fund those kind of projects? And again, I would go back and rely on bus rapid transit is definitely something that we're interested in. And I think there's, from a funding perspective, that should be an option as well.
And one quick comment before we take our first break. Younger people are riding the streetcar and are generally riding public transit more than us older folks.
Well, again, there's a variety of options. Obviously, we want to make sure that we have the options available for everybody. And public transportation as a whole, I think we've been kind of steady. Obviously, streetcar being a relatively new mode of transportation, people are enjoying that quite a bit more. But I guess I like to have this dialogue about public transportation as a whole. I think we are observing some essentially slow growth in ridership on public transportation. Other communities do a much better job of utilizing their public transportation for various reasons, obviously, and we hope that we can continue and grow that ridership.
Let's take our first break here on the Buckmaster Show. Tom, are you all ready? On Friday here on the Buckmaster Show, our bump music goes back to the 60s. Today we're featuring a group called the Buckinghams from my hometown of Chicago. So take it away, Tom.
This incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Rental. Everybody who's anybody is here, aren't you?
Don Pooley.
You're
Janos Wilder.
I know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Hey there.
Bill Harlow.
Great to see you.
Doug Martin.
I thought I just saw you.
Hey, Anna Cannon.
Thanks for coming.
David Sluts.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
John Fina.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
I know that face.
Hey, it's Brian Jeffries.
Aren't you?
Jeff Ronstadt.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering its promises, completing 149 out of 200 intersection improvements, 48 of 80 pedestrian safety crossings, 108 of 200 bus pullouts, and 226 miles of 500 promised bike lanes. Since the 2006 voter approval of the RTA plan, some 650 projects are completed. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Monday for the Monday Political Face-Off featuring commentators John Munger and Jeff Rogers. Also, a newsmaker interview with the mayor of the town of Sahuarita. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI The Voice, with live streaming podcasts and show archive at buckmastershow.com.
She made out of love, like one old one is out of the Playboy Club.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. You should see the video that I'm looking at right now. The Buckinghams, Mercy, 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 1967. Every Friday we use our bump music going back to the 60s for all the baby boomers to just celebrate the great music from the 60s. Dan Scheer was not and is not a baby boomer. He doesn't remember the 60s, but he likes some of the 60s music. Dan from the Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun will be in this chair next Friday, so he's going to have to select some kind of 60s music.
Yeah, I'm thinking
Peter,
about it.
Paul, and Mary, maybe, or something that. Yeah. Farhad Mogimi is with us, and Farhad, I know you like 60s music.
I love it.
Yeah, so you're enjoying it too. Farhad is the executive director of the Pima Association of Governments. He wears two hats at PAG and the Regional Transportation Authority. So a question for you for the Pima Association of Governments side of it. How has our air quality been overall? And that's one area that PAG kind of monitors.
Yeah, we're doing really well. Obviously, we're meeting all the standards. One of the reasons that I think air quality has been a little bit more in everybody's mind is the potential standards that EPA is discussing about reducing the level for ozone. And that potential, you know, is most likely coming down in October of this year. And hopefully, you know, we'll see a little bit more after they decide what the standard should be on the air quality. But overall, our air quality is much better than our neighbors to the north.
Oh, that's for sure. Yeah. Here's Dan Scheer.
We've been talking a lot about a lot of great RTA projects out there, but does the RTA funding include repair and maintenance costs? If not, where is that coming from?
Yeah, the RTA, when it was obviously drafted and the plan was passed by the voters, the discussion was that individual jurisdictions, you know, the cities and towns and the county, they would be responsible for the operation and maintenance of the RTA projects after they're built. So that decision was made back in 2006, and since then, every time we enter into an agreement with a lead agency, they accept that responsibility for operation and maintenance.
Well, we have a big problem in that area with Pima County, and we can see it because our bond in November is going to include $160 million for repair and maintenance. And so you're saying that these entities understand that they, in essence, are inheriting these roadways and all the responsibilities that come with them.
Exactly. Well, especially for the new roads, you know, obviously the new roads are going to have a lifespan of 10 years plus before they need any kind of treatment. But yes, they do accept that responsibility, and they know after 10 years they need to maintain the road.
And one question I know, Farhad, you get a lot is, why is RTA not fixing our potholes? And some people don't understand that that was not part of the deal in the 20-year plan to repair streets and potholes.
Yeah, that's correct. And again,
but people do get confused about it.
You know, if we want to talk about our overall transportation needs, you know, we have for the next 20 years almost $14 billion worth of needs that we're not going to have enough funding to be able to meet our needs. So obviously, you know, I can understand and I can relate to that myself. You know, I drive over all these potholes myself, and we recognize that there is a need. But what hopefully people would understand is the RTA's mission at the time was to develop a plan to address safety, mobility, and obviously address our growth. So at that time, the decision that was made, and the public was obviously engaged in that conversation over almost 3 years, everybody decided that operation and maintenance of those facilities should not be the responsibility of RTA. That's where the cities and towns and the county would continue that responsibility.
Any big projects that we should keep an eye on, kind of marquee projects that will be coming up?
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, next year we're hoping that we can finalize the next phase of the Grand Road. The first phase of the Grand Road was Oracle and Grant intersection that was completed. We hope that we can continue the construction for the next phase. Grant is going to be accomplished over several years. It's not going to be all done in one phase. In addition to Grant, obviously, we're continuing to have conversations about Kolb Road extension. We hope to have that, hopefully, the design completed and all the environmental permits. Hopefully, we should be able to obtain those and get those going as well. The more significant ones that you might hear about, obviously, are the traffic interchange at Ina Road and traffic interchange at Ruthroff with I-10. Those are projects that we're working on that hopefully you'll hear more about in the near future. Ongoing, obviously, Broadway project, we're working on getting that into a final design and hopefully be able to start implementing that construction as well within the next 5 years.
A lot of people, Farhad, are not aware that the RTA plan includes $45 million for what you call wildlife linkages. Can you tell us what is it and what's been done and what's planned?
Yeah, we do have a category for obviously those kind of projects that would meet the criteria for the linkages. And typically, anytime you do a major roadway improvement, individual jurisdictions would come to us and request for funding to be able to accommodate a wildlife crossing either under or over their improvements. Oracle Road is a good example of where there's an overpass actually being constructed to accommodate crossing there. SR 86 is another example of another underpass that's being funded through RTA for a wildlife crossing and some fencing, essentially safety reasons and obviously making sure that we don't cut off the wildlife migration with building essentially a barrier with a roadway system. So that goes through a criteria process. It goes through a selection and ultimately is funded for implementation. We do have smaller projects. The two that I named are larger ones. Twin Peaks project was another larger one as well, with Twin Peaks interchange at I-10. We do a lot of smaller projects that we fund. So Arita Road, for example, had one that they would oversize the size of a culvert to accommodate a crossing. So there's a lot of smaller ones that are implemented throughout the region as well.
The RTA was approved again in May of 2006. The stock market went south about a year and a half later, and we went into the deepest recession since the Great Depression. And I'm really wondering, it may have been very serendipitous, and I guess it was serendipitous in one respect, that road projects became much more competitive.
They did. And again, like you said, so we have one side of the equation that the revenues aren't coming in as much as we had hoped, but the other side of the equation was that the bids are much more competitive and we're enjoying lower cost for construction. At the end of the day, obviously, you know, the recovery is relatively slow. We're not getting a recovery at the rate that we're hoping for. So we're managing our budget. We're trying to do our best to deliver the projects within the budget that we have. And so far, we've been successful. We're meeting our targets, and we're able to deliver those projects.
Have most projects come in on time?
Most projects have started and completed on time. We had a few projects that obviously they had some delays in the construction phase, and we've dealt with those. We have a few projects that are taking longer to plan and get into final design and construction, but those are all within a reasonable time frame. And obviously, again, we look at five-year periods and increments, and everything's been completed within those five-year increments.
Okay, Dan Shear.
Farhad, you're about to okay some money to repair the Elephant Head Bridge down in my neck of the woods, and we discovered that the bridge is roughly 30 years old, but the girders are like 50 years old. Is that normal that is that you have a bridge built like that?
That was creative engineering at the time. I don't know if you know the details of that, but that bridge back in 83 with the flood, obviously there was some damage to the bridge, and they were able to go back and salvage some girders from a different project or from a variety of projects and rebuild that project on a relatively quick time frame. So yes, definitely it was creative, and it was the right thing to do at the time, because obviously with the flood of 83 there was so much damage across the region that they couldn't rebuild everything from scratch. So the problem was solved at the time, but here we are now, many years later, and it really needs to be addressed. So as a result, there's a request for funding from RTA from the bridge deficiency category that we hope that we can address that hopefully later this month at our meeting.
Okay, Farhad Moghimi, thank you very much for being with us, the head of the RTA. Thanks a lot. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You as well.
Okay. 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show, our Friday roundtable. Dan Shear sticks around, and Jim Nintzel joins us. Mr. Nintzel's in the house from the Tucson Weekly. We'll be right back.
Susan, looks like I'm losing. I'm losing my mind. I'm wasting my time. Susan, do you have to be confusing? I ask myself why.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
Hi. Wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us. How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $99 per month. Plus, get your first month free. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 8/30/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Hey, baby, they're playing a song.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, where it's exactly 12:34. Our Friday Focus interview is now history, and now we are ready for our Friday Roundtable. Jim Nintzel joins us now. Mr. Nintzel, the senior, a very award-winning senior writer of the Tucson Weekly and the host of his own television show, which airs on 9:30 on Channel 9, K-Gun. The show is Zone of Politics. Dan Scheer sticks around with us. Dan, the editor of the Green Valley News and Sahrita Sun. Jim, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much. I can remember seeing the Buckinghams back in 67 in Chicago.
No. No way.
Great show. My God.
But you know that I know them from, of course, my hometown of Chicago growing up in the 60s. They were a very big band.
They were great.
Yeah, they were great. So Dan's going to have to select. He's hosting for me next week.
That's right.
He will have to select the 60s music. Any suggestions, Mr. Nintzel?
Oh, you know.
Some of your favorite bands.
Some Mule Skinner Blues would be awesome.
Moby Grape.
Bring on some of that great 60s guitar.
And let me correct you, Bill. You said I wasn't a baby boomer, but I think that's true, 64?
Yeah.
I was born in 63, so I'm just barely in there, man. But it doesn't mean I know 60s music, please. So.
Was 64 the cutoff? I thought it was 65.
66 to 64.
So I'm Gen X then.
Tom, Tom, if you get a chance, look up, see what the baby boom, what is considered the baby boom. So Dan may have just
I might be in there
gotten in there under the wire. Mr. Nintzel, your piece in the Skinny, your long running column in the Tucson Weekly. The governor was in town this week and touting his accomplishments.
Yes, and one thing I certainly note is that there is a world of difference between Doug Ducey's speaking ability and Jan Brewer's speaking ability, and that's I think he is very confident on the stage. He's very smooth in his delivery. He understands how to speak in a way that I think was challenging for Jan Brewer. But I think another big difference is that Jan Brewer held the line on certain things in order to maintain some of the state services that I think are vital to our state, and I don't think Doug Ducey shares those values particularly. I mean, you saw the cuts to the university, you saw the cuts to the social safety net programs, the temporary aid to needy families, or to subsidize daycare for working moms, and a lot of these other programs that were really cut back pretty severely during the latest legislative session in order to bring the budget under control. But at the same time, while we hear a lot about the need for sacrifice and the need for hard decisions, the tax cuts continue to flow. We had even more tax cuts this last time. So you're making it harder and harder for the state revenues to come back and actually be able to reinvest in some of the vital infrastructure issues, or the education, or the schools, or a whole bunch of stuff in the state.
So, Jim, in your world, A balanced budget is important, right?
Well, absolutely. I wouldn't disagree with that. And in fact, legally required. You have to have a balanced budget. I have no issues with the idea of maintaining a balanced budget. But my question is, if you're talking about hard questions and sacrifice, why is the sacrifice always among the people who can least afford it and not on the side of those who can most afford it?
And perhaps folks don't agree with Mr. Nintzel. We can hear from you right now at 790-2040 on the Buckmaster Show live line. There was a poll that came out about John McCain that he may face, some stiff competition, Jim. What do you make of that?
Well, yeah, I think
this was the public policy polling indicating that he would be in a tight race against Matt Salmon, for one.
Yeah, there's certainly folks who could maybe give John McCain a challenge. He's not beloved among Republicans in the state. I think it's the fact that he's swung back and forth so many times on so many issues that there's just a general distrust, I would say, among many Republican voters for John McCain. At the same time, the question is who would run against him, and would that person be able to raise enough money to run a viable campaign and knock John McCain out? And I don't know who that candidate is. I don't know that that any of the members of Congress are seriously contemplating it at this point. You do have Kelly Ward in the state legislature, but I don't think
state senator from Lake Havasu City who's made some overtures about thinking about it.
Right, and I don't know that she can raise the kind of money you'd have to raise to defeat John McCain. He can be pretty vicious in his election campaigns.
Well, I remember back to the J.D. Hayworth race, and a lot of the Tea Party folks thought, well, the Tea Party actually I don't think was formed at the time, but the right wing of the party thought that J.D. would be the man that could give them a pretty good run, Dan, but
right.
It didn't happen.
I agree, and I don't know about Matt Salmon, because remember, of course, he had been bounced out of Congress, and then he got back in, and I think he likes it, and I don't know that he would challenge John McCain, but I think people have gone from distrust of John McCain to confusion over him, because he does bounce around all the time, but I also think that he's fairly Teflon. I just don't think that he's going to have an issue if he wants to run again.
And Schweikert's name has come up too.
Yeah, and I know that he's done well in the polls and stuff, but I don't know. You'd have to have something against John McCain that's real solid, and I don't know if the age thing would be it, or the fact that he vacillates. But he did that last time, and it just didn't seem to stick. I think people are annoyed with him, but I also think they like having someone who is representing our state, who's a national and frankly international figure.
And politics is always a case of compared to what? And mm-hmm. compared to the field out there, I think John McCain's looking probably pretty good for a Republican primary, although, you know, you've seen other candidates who looked pretty good, Richard Lugar in Indiana, for example, and he ended up getting knocked out in a primary, and then Democrats were able to capitalize on that and win a Senate seat because their Republican nominee was weak in Indiana. And you got to, you know, ask yourself, if you're a Democrat, should you get into that race in the hopes that John McCain would lose and you'd be able to run against a different Republican? And I don't know that that's a gamble we're going to see any kind of A-list Democrat make.
Yeah, are we looking for the next Rodney Glassman, basically?
Well, you know, Rodney's talking about running again.
Is
yes,
he really?
Is he?
Yes, yes,
yeah.
Yes.
For
yes,
Senate?
Yes.
Is that right?
Thinking about a second round there.
And speaking of running, the congressional districts may be redrawn, and Dan, that's something we're just waiting for. It's kind of like waiting for the other shoe to drop, because in June, the U.S. Supreme Court could, in effect, Arizona would have to redraw their congressional districts. However, Bruce Wheeler, who says he's running in CD2, told me here a week or so ago on the show that it's his understanding that even if the high court ruled that the lines would be drawn, they would still, for 2016, remain where they are. Is that what you're hearing, Jim?
I think that's a it depends. sense. Okay. And, you know, because that decision, once it comes down from the Supreme Court, then has to be remanded to the lower courts, and there's a process there that takes a certain amount of time, and then the drawing of the districts takes a certain amount of time. Although this legislature has proven that they are willing to move very swiftly, even if it means working through the middle of the night, and they don't seem to have a great deal of interest in having public input, so I suppose they could whip out those maps relatively quickly. We certainly heard rumors that David Gowan, the Speaker of the House, has already drawn up new maps.
A very favorable district for him.
Yeah, he wants a very conservative district in Southern Arizona. Yeah. He's moved the yellow sheets at the Capital Times reported that he had actually transferred Martha McSally into Raul Grijalva's district in an effort to get her out of the way. And of course, that doesn't really matter because you don't have to be a resident of the district to run. And I think a McSally-Gowan matchup would result in a McSally victory. But, you know, David's convinced he can draw up a conservative district and that lib Martha McSally can't survive a primary against him. So.
And I don't know about that. You know, Santa Cruz County, which only has roughly, 45,000 people or so, we would love to see somebody other than Raul Grijalva down there because we feel, and again, our newspaper chain owns the Nogales International. I'm in contact with them quite a bit, but Grijalva just has not done a whole lot down there. McSally, in her very short time in office, has addressed a lot of border issues and has shown a great interest in it. A good chunk of her district, of course, is on the border, but not in Nogales. We wouldn't mind seeing her over here.
Are you also hearing, Jim, and I know you hear lots of rumors about people who are thinking of running. Right now, Bruce Wheeler is the only one whose name has emerged pretty much on the Democratic side to challenge Martha McSally. But in a primary, surely Bruce will have competition in a Democratic primary. We've heard Dr. Matt Hines' name come up.
I've heard that as well, and I've talked to Dr. Matt about that. Mm-hmm. He has not
He was living in D.C., and
right.
Now he's back here working at TMC.
He went to work for Health and Human Services and was still doing some moonlighting here in Tucson. And he wrapped up his work there, which is certainly a sign that he's considering this, that he's no longer working for the federal government. And he's in the district. So he ran against Ron Barber, of course, in 2012 mm-hmm. in the primary, and that didn't go his way. But he tells me he is definitely thinking about it. He hasn't made up his mind one way or the other.
Dan, I want to ask you a little bit about, give us a Rosemont Mine update. It's been a while. The Star had a piece that the EPA was very critical, again, of the mine. Where is that stand right now? And as we've pointed out on this program before, the new owners of the Rosemont Mine, the Hudbay people out of Toronto, Ontario, Canada, have really been flying below the radar screen on this. When you think about Augusta, when Augusta had it, how visible they were in the community, Hudbay really playing it close to the vest.
Yeah, and intentionally so. And I've met with Hudbay, and they're real candid in their discussions with us. But you know what? They don't need to be. They don't need to be out there right now. They are involved in the community as far as giving some money and scholarships and such. But what we saw recently was that the EPA actually was critical of the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality and saying that they basically aren't stringent enough. So they've taken their case to the Army Corps of Engineers, and they're expected to make a decision soon on the water permit. The interesting thing in all of this, and the big question, is whether this is a strong hint from the EPA that they're going to veto the Army Corps' permit on Rosemont. So we'll see what happens there. But at this point, people are sitting tight, waiting for the last couple of permits to come in. My guess is they'll go through, and they'll be mining probably in about 2 years.
That's been your prediction all along, yep, that this thing would actually get built.
Well, the EPA has certainly signaled on a number of occasions that they don't think the mitigation efforts have been strong enough because of the potential damage to the waterways. I think they also ran into some trouble with the court ruling that the state improperly gave them an air quality permit. So that process, I believe, Dan, I don't think that's been wrapped up yet, right?
Correct.
That's still underway. So there's certainly some environmental issues still ahead for Rosemont to resolve, and you know, a lot may depend on who the next president of the United States is and who's running the EPA. If the Obama administration's EPA does not allow this to go through, then you'll have to just wait and see if President Cruz's EPA will allow such a thing.
Jim Nintzel with us.
If we have an EPA under
Jim Nintzel and Dan Scheer with us on our Friday roundtable. Dan, everybody's talking about the bond election. There'll be seven separate items. I don't know who is going to emerge. Maybe Allie Miller is a spokesperson. I don't know if she could, probably because she's a supervisor, she couldn't officially be a spokesperson against the seven bonds, but she's definitely against them.
Right. We've done an unofficial, unscientific poll online, and it's about 2-1 against this, meaning about 60% of the people in our unofficial poll said absolutely no on all of them.
All of them, including the $160 million for the road repairs?
Right. And what we're hoping here, though, is that people will take into account the entire county and the good of the entire county, not just the projects that are in their area, what is best. And I like the fact that we can vote on seven different propositions here, but people have to sit down, read them, and understand them. And I hope that they take the time. Your average voter doesn't. Generally, it's all up or all down. So we'll see what happens there. But our poll indicates that about 30% of the people are willing to support at least part of this. And we'll see as we get closer, and we'll, you know, again, completely unscientific online poll. But generally, the initial reaction is, you've got to be kidding.
What do you think, Jim?
Well, I think the key word there is unscientific, and I think Dan did stress that this is not a scientific survey. But, you know, I haven't heard anything about polling on these questions. I know that there are a lot of folks out in the community that really urged the supervisors to go ahead and put this on the ballot this last time, and you can expect that they will be out campaigning in favor of it because, you know, everybody who has a little piece of the action is going to want to see this thing pass. All seven of them pass. You know, I think some of them have better chances than others. I would think the road bonds would be something that a lot of folks would feel it's worth going ahead and borrowing the money in order to get some of these road repairs underway. And, you know, I would certainly expect Allie Miller to be out there front and center. I don't think there's any restrictions on her because she's an elected official. She can speak her mind on just about anything. If she were an employee, that would be a different case. But I expect we'll hear a lot.
Is she returning?
Not me.
She returning your phone calls?
No. Well, she did once.
Oh, really?
You know, I tried to reach out to that office because there was a rumor that her chief of staff wants to run against Ray Carroll.
Yeah,
and so I reached out a couple of times to Jeannie Davis over there, who's her chief of staff, to find out if she's in, because a number of Republicans had told me that she had told them that she wanted to run against Ray, and so I wanted to get to the bottom of that. And no response, curiously. You'd think if you were not going to do it, you'd go ahead and get back to me and say, no, that's a crazy rumor, but no response. So Ray did say he ended up in the elevator with Allie and Jeannie over there, and that they said that it's completely scurrilous, and you can't believe a word you read in the Tucson Weekly. So
okay, so it sounds like we don't know anything. About
We don't know. You know, stay tuned.
All right,
I think it could be the most entertaining race of 2016 on the local level.
All right. While I'm gone for a couple of weeks, Dan, you're going to be sitting in on Mondays and Fridays. What do you have coming up on this Monday show?
On Monday, we're going to be talking to Mayor Duane Bloomberg of Sahuarita, and we've got a lot of business activity going on there, some economic development. We're about to open up the town's biz hub this month, and we will be talking a little bit about that.
And then you'll have the face-off. Jeff Rogers and John Munger will be with you, and topic to be determined. But thank you very much, Dan, for doing that.
No problem.
And Jim, thanks for coming in.
Always a pleasure.
And I hope this bowl game goes. You know, I hope we get a bowl game. Apparently, it's been sanctioned, but now how are you going to get somebody to sponsor it, right?
We haven't had the best of luck.
Several million dollars to come
with
up with.
Our bowl games in the past, wow. But, you know, what are we getting in this one? Like, what is it?
I don't know. All I know is they're like... there's 120 teams that are eligible for bowls, and I think 85 now could go to a bowl of all the teams playing.
You potentially could have a team with a losing record
yes.
in your bowl.
Yes,
that's,
you're right.
That's anything, the problem.
But everybody gets to go to a bowl. It's like everybody gets a trophy. Anyway, that's the going to do it.
Mid-Mississippi Conference.
Yeah.
There
you go.
Coming.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Have a great weekend. We've got our weekend watch with Matt Russell coming up next.
you don't love me? Why don't you tell me? Instead of running around with all the other guys in town.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 650 projects to date, including pedestrian safety crossings, intersection safety improvements, and bus pullouts, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
All right, time for Weekend Watch, brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson, to a lot of fun, especially over the Memorial Day weekend, where it is the Silver City Blues and Bikes Festival. Taj Mahal headlining the 20th year celebration of this free Silver City event. You can find out about the great places to stay like Bear Mountain Lodge and Casitas de Gila guest houses by visiting the fine website southwestnewmexico.org with all the places to stay, the good places to stay, and really many, many things to do over in Silver City, New Mexico. Time now to welcome the Weekend Watch host, award winning Tucson publicist, food and beverage columnist for Inside Tucson Business, and dedicated foodie, Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
Hey, Bill, I'm doing great. I've got happy hour on my mind. It's Friday. It's 1 o'clock. This is when I start thinking about my weekend.
What are you dialing up?
Well, you know what? The Tucson Iron Chef competition will be happening pretty soon, so I thought today would be a great day to head up to the Gringo Grill and Cantina on Oracle, just south of Rudisill, to get a glimpse of the reigning Iron Chef John Hone at work. Now, he always has something fun for happy hour, and boasts one of the largest tequila inventories in all of Arizona. I say try the Masa Dusted Calamari with a ghost chili cocktail sauce, or the Sloppy Jose, his take on the Sloppy Joe with chorizo and smoked ketchup, and of course, all of this would go great with one of his signature margaritas. Go ahead and check out Happy Hour today, Iron Chef style, at 3 o'clock at Gringo Grill.
And while we're speaking of Mexican and Latina food, what else do we have?
Yeah, you know, Bill, we just got word that Contigo Latin Kitchen is going to be closing its doors for good on May the 17th. So this weekend will be one of the last times for you to experience what I've always thought to be one of the best menus in town. The chorizo stuffed dates are a must for a starter, and I think the paella is truly some of the best I've ever had. Of course, other favorites include the ribeye with chimichurri and the braised pork shank with sweet potato puree. I'm really sad to see them go, Bill, so I may have to schedule several dinners there before May 17th. Contigo, 1745 East River Road, should be on your calendar this weekend.
Where do we go this weekend to honor Mom on Sunday?
So many great choices. My pick this year is the iconic Westward Look Resort, 245 East Ina Road. Their grand Mother's Day brunch buffet includes an array of seafood, pork loin, duck legs, eggs Benedict, carving stations, and so much more. What a great way to show Mom how much you love her. And the Westward Look has all the touches that I think are going to make this a memorable moment for Mom. And let me take this time to say Happy Mother's Day to my own mom right here on the Buckmaster Show.
There you go. Look for the column Inside Tucson Business regarding...
Yes, more and more celebrities are getting into the liquor business these days, Bill, putting their names on everything from tequila to vodka. But is the celebrity brand enough to make these spirits soar? I sat down with two local guys in the bar biz for their thoughts, and you can read all about that story in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
Aloha. Have a great weekend.
Back to you, sir.
The Bill Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of our great team here at KVOI, Tom Fairbanks, Ed Alexander, Ray Allen, and my executive assistant, Rosemary Brandt, thank you very much to all of you. I'm Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend. Back with you on Monday. Dan Shearer will be here. I'll be on vacation. Talk to you soon.